This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, online at reformedforum.org. This is the Reformed Media Review, episode number 34. On the program today, we discuss the Ligonier National Conference, several resources from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and multi-site churches. All this and more ahead on the Reformed Media Review.
Welcome to Reformed Media Review, your weekly conversation in all things Reformed. And although we have to admit and give this disclosure that while the materials that we review may not be Reformed, you could be assured that the reviewers always are. So my name is Jim Cassidy, pastor at Calvary Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Ringgoes, New Jersey, and I'm joined here today with my good colleague, Jeff Waddington, who's teacher of the congregation here in Ringgoes. How you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jim?
Doing well on this beautiful June day. The air is actually in the Northeast not as humid as it usually is.
No, it's dry. Wow.
Unusual.
So we celebrate a dry. This is a dry state, which is, does not mean we don't drink. It just means the air is not so humid.
That's right, and that's only rare here during the summer. But well, we today have some exciting items that we want to share with you, our audience, in terms of what is out there and available for resources, media, and other items that may be of interest to you, so that we can get into the hands of pastors and interested lay people. Materials that will edify and also materials that will inform may not necessarily be edifying, but it will at least inform. So again, we have some of that material here available we're going to discuss today. So Jeff, why don't you get us started? Tell us what you have for us today.
Okay, well, a couple of things I wanted to mention. One is that the Ligonier National Conference is going on right now. And if you go to the Feeding on Christ website, it's two or three entries from the top. You'll find a link to the Ligonier live streaming of the conference. This morning, Dr. Sproul did a presentation on evil, which I thought was very good. And actually, in about 15 minutes, Derek Thomas will be addressing the conference. And that goes through tomorrow.
Well, and now, I believe now, all of we just got to make known to our audience. Of course, we're talking here June 18th. By the time
it'll be over with, and you won't be able to see it. Sorry, but that is something.
But buy the CDs.
That's right. They will undoubtedly make the material available in a CD format or MP3 download or whatever. In the future, look for that. They're dealing with the kinds of things we're talking about right now, the issue of social networking. Al Mohler was addressing the conference, I think, yesterday on being overly socially networked or something to that effect. So you want to be on the lookout for that. They're keeping up with the latest trends, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that. Speaking of Facebook, I was interacting with an acquaintance of mine, and twice I spent a half hour answering a question and had it get lost. It froze on me. So I'm a little bit miffed at Facebook right now, but that's another story.
Join the list of people who are miffed at Facebook.
I do appreciate the Facebook and the Twitter and all those social networking websites. But Al Mohler, speaking of Al Mohler, at his website, you may or may not know that it's been redesigned, his website, and they've got some excellent videos over there. There's, of course, the one that he gave recently at Together for the Gospel.
Right.
That one many of our listeners will have already seen. Mm-hmm. But there are many things that are done within in-house at Southern Baptist Seminary that are also there. For instance, there's a panel discussion on the new perspectives on Paul.
Oh,
there's
interesting.
There's a panel discussion. These are about an hour long, by the way. Mm-hmm. There's a panel discussion on the movie Avatar,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I saw this week.
We got it on our Netflix queue, and it's actually arrived here at our house. We just haven't had the chance to take a look at it yet.
Interesting movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving along, they also have a panel discussion on multi-site churches, you know, where it's one congregation that meets in several places.
Right.
And they did touch upon the issue of using, you know, jumbo screen TVs to beam in a well-known speaker or pastor so that you don't necessarily have a live body. That's discussed in that particular panel discussion. And
well, I'm interested. What did they say about that?
Well, there are differences of opinion. You have, on the one hand, one pastor, actually the senior pastor of the church where Dr. Moeller serves as a teaching pastor. Mm-hmm. I think it's Highland Park Southern Baptist Church, mm-hmm. which is a multi-site congregation in Louisville. And then there were four people plus Dr. Moeller on that discussion, along with Greg Allison, who's a professor, Kevin Ezell, I think, is the senior minister at the Highland Park. And then I forget the other gentleman. He's the senior pastor of Sojourn Southern Baptist, I think also in Louisville, or at least in Kentucky. And then there was Greg Gilbert, who was Dr. Moeller's personal assistant, I think, at Southern, is now on the pastoral staff at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, which is where Mark Deaver is the senior pastor. And Greg Gilbert was the one who was most critical of the idea of a multi-site church, and probably he's the guy that we would most resonate with. His concerns were the concerns that we might expect. You know, you need to hear the live preaching of the word. You need to have an actual pastor and elders and deacons to help shepherd the congregation, that kind of thing. So the discussion is held within the context of Southern Baptist ecclesiology, it's still a very interesting discussion.
And it has also implications for even tightly networked type church denomination.
And they know that. In other words, they knew that the people outside of the Southern Baptist convention would be watching this and learning from it, right?
Sure.
Also, there's this panel discussion on there's a new a resurgence of concern over the Great Commission. In the Southern Baptist Convention, you may have seen reports to that effect coming out of the Southern Baptist, the annual convention that either is still meeting or has just been completed.
Okay.
And so there's a discussion. So all sorts of interesting things, as well as there are videos of sermons and lectures that Dr. Moeller himself has given. So all sorts of good stuff there. That's just another good, useful resource out there.
Well, let me ask you this before we move on, because this would be of some interest to our listeners, especially since this is the Reformed Media Review. In terms of, I'm trying to understand, because I didn't see the program that you're mentioning, the roundtable discussion. But so let me bounce some questions off you, and maybe we can. Just discuss this briefly in terms of, because it's not something I've thought about. I mean, we don't exactly here have the resources to go piping in anybody by way of, broadband video.
That's
and,
true.
You know, all those right. things. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not even a temptation for us.
Well, you know who was in the name that was in the background, of course, was John Piper, because he's been in the fact that he's now Bethlehem Baptist Church in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. Is now a multi-site church, mm-hmm. and they, as I understand, they broadcast or whatever the proper terminology is now, mm-hmm. they show him on a screen to the other sites.
Oh, so there's no local pastors or elders.
Now there may be leaders, but they're not preaching on a regular basis. They're actually broadcasting Piper. Well, not anymore, because he stepped down for a leave of absence, right? A sabbatical.
Right.
Whoever is preaching at the mother church, the mother congregation, will be the one who's broadcast to the satellite location.
Yeah,
now,
I can see that being a problem.
That's not assumed. Yeah, that's not assumed. In other words, I thought that when I first started watching this discussion, that everybody was talking about this phenomenon of having satellite locations, and you would beam or broadcast the preaching from the mother church, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily what's going on. For instance, in the there were two pro multi-site congregation pastors there, and well, three of them were in favor of it, and Greg Gilbert was the one who was not. Basically, the issue of broadcasting the senior pastor from the mother church to the satellite locations was not the central theme of the discussion. That came up toward the end. Actually, what they were talking about was the legitimacy of having satellite congregations that are not church plants per se. Mm. And the rationale for that was that they wanted to replicate the DNA. In other words, the mother church, you might call it, is doing things right, and they want to be able to see that replicated in the daughter congregation, the satellites, right?
Right. But you could do that as well. You could replicate, if I could put it that way, the DNA with a church planting model, you know, one where you're,
yes, you
know.
Yes, you could. Although understand that and here's where it got interesting, because Greg Gilbert, of course, was arguing, but we have a certain ecclesiology in the Southern Baptist Convention that would seem to require an emphasis on the local congregation, therefore having its own pastor and leaders, right?
Yes, yes.
And we would resonate with that line of argument.
Right.
The other pastors were saying, but you can't always find leaders who will replicate the model that we embrace.
But even on their model, and as we would appreciate the local congregation emphasis in having local leaders and ministry of the word, I think if you want to replicate something that's being done right, and certainly who among us wouldn't want that?
Right.
If something's being done right, let's do it in, you know, wherever we can take it and, you know, let it flourish. To me, it seems that the best way to do that is with a denominational or church-wide confession and book of church order. I mean, you know, when you do church planning in, let's say, the PCA, the OPC, United Reformed Churches of America, Reformed Presbyterian Church, whatever, each of those church planters are going to the different locations, and they're bringing with them a book of church order that the, you know, quote unquote mother church, the mothership, is right. You know, we're bringing that with them. They're bringing the confession.
Now remember, it's, right, exactly, and what you're touching upon is something that they in the Southern Baptist Convention, I think, at least in this conversation, they are not so committed to connectionalism that they're completely comfortable with what we've been talking about. Although I don't think they're completely uncomfortable. In fact, one could argue that the multi-site church model is almost a quasi-Presbyterian form of ecclesiology sneaking into a Southern Baptist Convention ecclesiology.
Sure, and we're what we're saying is, you know, you guys are reinventing the wheel. Us Presbyterians have had this now for centuries. You know?
Right, I mean, really think about it, because, I mean, the multi-site model is talking about the same – basically what it's saying is you've got several congregations who are under the same leadership. Have the same church budget and so on and so forth. Now, one could say that that's really that's kind of like how it's operated in the Netherlands, right? Historically, the Dutch Reformed tradition, the consistory often was of one city, and one city may have several congregations, and each of the ministers, elders, and deacons would serve on the consistory, and there would be a central consistory.
And then, of course, you would have the classes, which would be made up of, you know, the broader network of churches,
right.
And they would gather together on a regular basis to keep each other accountable and to oversee the work of ordination and church planning, et cetera. So, you know, yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is, not to slight our good brethren within the more congregational local autonomy churches, you know, certainly those men that we speak of, Al Muller and Gilbert and Dever, you know, these are the men that we look up to. But, you know, at the same time, we're just saying, you know, hey, that's not a bad model, but we've been doing that for, you know, with a book of church order and a confession, you know.
So I would recommend that our listeners go to that, go to Al Muller's website, and it'll be under the video tab.
Yeah.
Okay, and it'll be on the second page of the video tab. It's over. It's about an hour, if not over an hour, for that discussion. And the it's interesting. They really didn't get to what I consider to be the more problematic issue, which is the beaming in of a pastor theoretically from anywhere in the world
from the mothership.
Replacing, not in this. Potentially, you could be in America and broadcasting to South Africa.
Yeah. Beam me up, Scotty, you know, or beam me down from the mothership.
and of course, we're not opposed to using that technology in something other than the public worship setting, right? I mean, we wouldn't have a problem with a class in the middle of the week benefiting from the insights of a minister or a lecturer in another part of the world. I mean, we read books from writers in other parts of the world, right?
Yeah, and you know, thinking of the Together for the Gospel, the wonderful ministry they provided in terms, and even the one you're talking about, broadcasting Ligonier's ministry, but also broadcasting other things that are available for video download. Wonderful stuff, but a wonderful resource in its proper place, it seems, if you don't have a local pastor. So you have visitors come in. They look up at the screen and they see, you know, the man in the box, right? You know, little head, you know, headroom guy talking, Max Headroom, you know. And then after the sermon, after the service, you know, that was a great show. I got a question for the pastor, you know. I'd like for him to maybe pray with me. And I got a good question. He's in Minneapolis, and you know, that's 300 miles away. Or you know,
right.
It just, you know, there's a very impersonal electronic touch to that. And while we would all love to have John Piper as our pastor, at the same time, you also have to recognize that John Piper can't do it all. He's not the Pope. I mean, you know, we want to have local pastors, locally gifted and equipped for doing the work of the ministry. So anyway, yeah, I think that could be potentially problematic.
Yeah, and even think about what we do here at Reform Forum. We don't consider these to be the replacement for the local church.
Right.
Or for Presbytery or for the General Assembly. This is what we would describe it as a support work, right?
Sure.
As kind of supporting what is going on in the local congregation. But public worship really ought to involve a live preacher. And this is kind of what Greg Gilbert was getting at. He didn't have as much time because the issue of beaming in an image came up at the last minute. It wasn't the center of the discussion. Anyway, so it's interesting. That's worth our folks going and watching just to see how our brothers in the Lord within the Southern Baptist Convention are wrestling with this issue.
It's amazing, first of all, and at the same time, we want to recognize the hand of God in the fact that there are you know, people still coming to church in our day and age. You know, the church plants and these, you know, these new congregations are rising up, and praise the Lord that when other countries are in the West are seeing a drastic decline in terms of churches, you know, we're still seeing, at least among Bible-believing evangelical churches, and Reformed churches in particular, an increase in a growth. You know, it's an exciting thing to see.
Yeah, my approach to this kind of thing would be, you know, we look at and we stand on the sidelines and look from the outside in, and we can say, okay, in other words, we don't have to say something is all wrong or all right. We may simply say, okay, what they're doing is legitimate but irregular. You know, that's a category we have within our own circles, right, Jim?
Sure, that's right.
And that allows us to not necessarily to say everything's wrong or everything's right. We can say this is overall a very good thing.
Yep.
Or the fact that you want to reach out to the lost, mm-hmm. and the way you think it needs to be done is through a multi-site congregation. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to affirm your desire to reach the lost. Okay, mm-hmm. that's a very good motive. Mm-hmm. However, the way you go about doing things may need some, you know, correction, that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, that's the reformers, of course, made the distinction between the SA and the Bene SA of the church. Right. We would say that Presbyterianism is for the Bene SA of the church, but is not of the SA. In other words, we recognize that there are legitimate, wonderful gospel preaching, spirit filled churches that are not Presbyterian. Right. You know, they're still of the essence of the church because they maintain the biblical preaching of the word. But they may not have in their particular form of government the Bene SA, the well-being of the church, where we would recognize right. Presbyterianism as being a more faithful, biblically faithful form of church government. So.
Right. And by the way, that came up in this discussion. There was a disagreement between the two pastors who are involved in a multi-site church and Greg Gilbert. Greg Gilbert was arguing for a regulative principle of church government.
Mm. Now, amen.
That's why I said we would resonate with him. He was saying that by precept or example, God's word teaches us how he wants the church to be run. Now, of course, we would disagree with him on some of the particulars.
Sure.
But we can resonate with our brother on that particular point that this now he was arguing for the New Testament. We would say we need to go to the Old Testament as well, but we'd say, look, we agree with Brother Greg Gilbert that the Bible does give us detailed information on the way the church ought to be governed.
Yes,
as you have pointed out that we've understood that to be part of the well-being and not the being.
Right.
Of the church. And so we don't look at our brothers in the Southern Baptist Convention and say, well, you're not a church because you don't get everything right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, well, this has been a fascinating discussion concerning this. Are there other items that you had, Jeff, that
yeah,
you wanted
two,
to
two
point
items
out?
That are for yeah, two items that are forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And one is that they're biographies. One is by our good friend Ron Gleason, who we've interviewed on Christ the Center. That's his biography of Herman Bavinck is due out within the next month or month and a half. It looks to be a very exciting and solid biography of this great theologian.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, Crossway will be issuing a similar volume on B.B. Warfield by Fred Zaspel.
Nice.
I think it's both a biography and an assessment of his theology. So we're going, and these two men were friends and contemporaries. Isn't that interesting? That
they died the same year, in fact.
They did. Yeah, you had the triumvirate of Kuyper, Warfield, and Bavinck all dying within about a year of each other back in 1920 and 1921.
Correct.
These two books will be great because we don't have. With Bavinck, at least in the English language, we haven't had a really great, thorough biography. And with Warfield, we've had nothing, really, of any substance. I happen to know that there's another biography and theological assessment being done by another author as well. So in the near future, we'll have these two good books on Warfield.
Great. Well, now we do want to mention, just for fairness, of course, our good friend Gary Johnson's book on Warfield, which isn't a full biography, but it is a volume of substance.
Well, that's more of a looking at various aspects of his theology, and that's correct. Gary Johnson edited that wonderful volume. Mm-hmm. And you and I, of course, have been involved with the gentleman that I'm referring to, who's also working on a book on Warfield. You remember the photographs we took of some of the Warfield scrapbooks, remember?
Letters, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
That's all for Bradley Gundlach is working on a book on Warfield as well. So we'll be well-served in the days ahead.
But yeah, some exciting exciting stuff coming out. Now, we should say that the Bavink volume, from what I understand, and I don't want to I'm not making promises for anybody, but our listeners ought to keep an eye on the Westminster Books bookstore website, because I believe when it comes out, it will be offered at a very nice discount. Now, I don't know what that is. I can't give any more details than that, but I believe that that's the plan. So keep your eyes out on the Westminster Bookstore website for this volume, and be sure to pick up a copy when it comes out.
Oh, there is one more thing, and I should have mentioned this. Paideia Press, which is a Canadian Reform publishing house, is offering some really sweet books online as PDFs.
Oh.
I'm looking for the particular address, URL I can give to you, to our listeners. But there's the stuff on there from Bavink and Kuiper that is currently not easily available, not readily available. Here it is. It's called write this all down, folks. www.reformationalpublishingproject.com/RPP/Paideia. That's PAIDEIA _ books, BOOKS .ASP _. Okay, that will take you to the Reformational Publishing Project, where they have got a load of Bavink, Kuiper, Bolt, De Jong, De Graaf, De Groot, De Vries, yet they're Dutch. Okay.
Any Dutchmen in there?
Doeyvaard, Goodswaard, Groen van Prinsterer, who was the inspiration for Kuiper, Holverda. I mean, you've got Diktaten Dogmatique. That's a 5-volume set of Kuiper's theology based on the notes taken by his students. You've got De Gemeen Grati, volumes 1-3. That's on Common Grace.
Which all you got to do is be able to read Dutch, and you're all set.
Well, some of it's English, some of it's Dutch. That's correct. So, but
yeah,
I mean,
Kuiper stuff is still. I mean, his Common Grace volumes are still untranslated, and I'm just. I would love to know if anybody is working on that, because it's regarded, I guess, as a monumental piece.
Yes, it is, and you know, someday when my dissertation is done, I might tackle something like that. But it's because I've taken Dutch for my doctoral program. But it would be hard work, but definitely worth doing. But anyways, you want to keep that location in mind. You can download those PDFs for free, folks.
Wow!
I mean, think about it. Especially if you have something like a Kindle or the Sony Book Reader or the Nook, which is Borders or Barnes & Noble's product. You can read these things at your leisure like a book.
Yeah, nice. Wow. Well, that's really helpful. I had one just to mention as we're closing up, but this caught my eye. Obviously, I haven't read it yet. It's forthcoming, and I believe it's due in August. Yeah, August. In that Jeff, you're familiar with the Calvin 500 series edited by David Hall.
Right.
The newer one that's now coming out is called Calvin and Culture, Exploring a Worldview, edited by both Hall and Paget. And this looks like it's going to be a very nice. I don't know if it's the last book or not of the series.
I think it may be the last one of the series. There
okay.
Eight altogether.
That's excellent. It's going to make a very nice eschatological book, the final ending of a volume in the set. And so anyway, just to direct our listeners to keep an eye out for that. Again, that will be published by P&R and due out in August, and almost certainly Westminster Bookstore will go ahead and carry that for you. So keep an eye out for that. I'm looking forward to get my grubby little hands on it. So.
Very good.
So, anything else, Jeff, or are we ready to wrap up?
I think we're probably ready to wrap up. There's all sorts of things to talk about. in terms of other things that are forthcoming or have just come out, but we can do that, reserve that for a future edition of the Reformed Media Review.
Fantastic. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. We were happy to have you with us as we carried on the show. Take a look at some of the things that we mentioned, and we pray and hope that these resources will be edifying to you and be for the building up of the kingdom of God. Meantime, Jeff?
Tola lege.
Pick up and read. Thank you.